Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you, God, for your glory. God, we thank you that you draw us, God, to yourself, God, that you're a rewarder of those who seek you. Lord, we pray, God, for your word today, God, that it would go forth. Lord, it would go from the ear to the heart, that the Holy Spirit would bring it to life. Show us Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last week we started our sermon series on seeking God. And I think we talked about our relationship with God. And I would say that most of us had the dating relationship with God. And so you weren't really doing anything special. God just came upon you. And so many of us experienced, you are a Christian because you experience the love of God. You didn't earn it. You didn't do anything special. It's just God chose you. He decided to love on you. And the mercy and the grace just poured into your life. It's just, and I call that the dating period in the sense. And I've had that, and I think I was sharing, you know. I think, actually, I was with Sang, you know, because we went to college together, and I remember I was sharing last week, I was at church, and the Spirit of God would just come on me. And I would be sobbing, and I was probably the only guy in the church sobbing during this time, and I had to get up and leave, and I remember he was telling me that he saw me stand up, and that he'd remember me doing that. And those are some special times. And then there's this marriage aspect of our relationship with God. And we read verses. It says, if you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart. Now, that sounds a lot like work. Now, there's a promise that if you seek, you will find. Which is true. Then there is this clause. If you seek me with all your heart. Now, God, you know, in the last sermon series, we talked about the holiness of God. Now, the holiness of God is the bigness, the greatness, the worthiness. It's the set apartness of God. So when God is holy, you know, and the glory of God is the manifestation of his holiness. So his love is not just love. It's all your heart love. His grace is all your heart grace. And so the commands of Scripture, the most important ones, always say, with all your heart. And it goes on to say, all your heart, mind, body, and soul. And it's exactly what the command, be holy as I am holy. Meaning, when you become a Christian, there's no casual with God. Just like in my relationship with Ellen, right? In our marriage, to be honest, I think there's a period of your marriage. There's the dating period. You don't even really have to try. It's all your heart all the time when you're dating. And then you get married and the honeymoon period is over and it's just a lot like work. Now you're trying to kindle that fire. There's always a pilot going, right? So you got to fan that flame, right? And then the flame dies down. You got to fan it again, right? And I don't know. You can ask Ellen. I hope I'm better at the all your heart stuff, you know? I guess what I'm saying is the reason why God commands us to seek him with all your heart is this trust the Lord with all your heart. Love your God with all your heart. Seek God with all your heart. And the thing is if you just casually had a relationship with God, you don't have to seek him, you know, it would not benefit you. It wouldn't. And that would not be a relationship you have with God, actually. And it's shocking. Sometimes we're upset at God. Because we're really casual with God and we're wondering, where's God? So we enter into that that part of our relationship. And you forget. And when I say all your heart, it isn't because God needs it, by the way. It's because we need it. There is something amazing. There isn't a happy Christian. There is not a joyful and glad Christian who is not pursuing holiness, who is not seeking God with all their hearts. There isn't an athlete who enjoys playing sports that isn't pursuing it with all his heart. If you're a casual athlete, you just go out there to just kick the ball around, you probably don't really like that sport that much. Now, in our day in society, to be honest, like, we get into the fantasy stuff, the virtual, you know, like, it's almost kind of like being an athlete. And sometimes we find that Christianity becomes like that. You know, like, we try to get off on, like, the Christian songs and, you know, and wonder, and like, it's almost replacing seeking God. But there's a holiness to God. God only does all your heart. That's how he loves. And so now that comes into question all the time. We wonder if God loves us like that. Does God want to be affectionate to me? Is God really love me, and does he forgive me? And God only does all your heart. That's because he's holy. So that was last week. Because it's holy pursuit. We have to understand if we're going to seek God and find God and enjoy God, which is pretty much the chief end of man, it's got to be with all your heart. So today we're going to talk about showing up and submitting. Showing up and submitting. Now we're going to look to James to help us kind of kick us off in this direction. James chapter 4, 6 through 8. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, there are aspects of our relationship with God that is conditional. It's conditional. If you want more grace, you got to want more humility. It says, submit yourselves, therefore. This is the submit part. To God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God. Here's the show up stuff. So you got the submit and the show up. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Now that doesn't mean, this is talking to a marriage congregation, right? God is always unconditional in that God will always love you. No matter if you're God's child, he will always love you. But just like if Ellen just loved me, even if I was a bad husband, and she always showed affection to me, no matter how lazy I'm about her relationship, it wouldn't serve me. It would probably serve her. So it is conditional in the sense, in every good sense. Because God loves us. He's not going to spoil us, by the way. God's not into that. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, James is talking to Christians. And so we have to understand why it is so necessary. Because a lot of times when we think about submission, we think about the one-time thing we do. We gave our life to the Lord. But before we talk about that, let's talk about showing up. Showing up. Oh, I tell you, showing up is a lot of work. You know, like, and if you're a pastor, you got to show up to a lot of places. You know, someone gets sick, someone's in the deathbed, somebody is, the funeral, I was reading an article about the new, the Koreans call that shimbang, right? Which is the visitation to people's homes. I remember, and it reminded me of my friend. But anyways, but the thing was the new shimbang, which is the pastoral visitation, right? To the visitor's home. He says, that's like a thing of the past in Korea, or like with the younger generation. Because people don't want you to come to their house. You know? So they're like meeting them at work, right? So some of you, you know, right? And they're, you know, meeting them at cafes, but not in the home. And I mentioned my friend because I remember, and he's an early adopter to this. He said he visited a Korean church and a whole team of people from the church came to his house and they knocked on the door and says, "Hey, we're here to visit," doing that shimbang, which is the visitation. And he goes, "Can we come in?" And he says, "No, no, you should have called." So he closed the door and he was telling me about it. I was like, dude, that's just mean. It was like, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say, you know, but, you know, he admits it could have been rude, but, you know, the point is it wasn't wanted. And I was like, man. Anyways, that's probably why I don't visit your house very often. I have a little PTSD from that. All right, let's read about showing up. Showing up. Matthew 6:5. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door. I used to say, shut the door, right? And pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, there's nothing more honest about your life than prayer. Nothing more honest. Whatever happened during the day, what happened during the week, going before God with all that mess, it's just the most honest time you'll ever have. Why? Because you might have watched that, you know, inappropriate content. Now you got to go and pray. You know? You might have been actually bent out of shape. Somebody, you know, I just had, you know, like something happened. You know? Somebody really pissed you off. You're frustrated. You're angry. Or, you know, it's just like whatever it is, it begins right here. Just all begins right here. If you are honest about your relationship with God, it's right here. And let me tell you this. It's the hardest thing to do in your relationship with God. I would venture to say that you'll probably, okay, help people move. You will, for like a couple of days straight, you will cook up a storm. You will do anything for anybody. Take the shirt off your back, except pray for them. It's true. Now think about it. It's hard, but it's honest. I know people who pray for people, right? If you're like people who pray for their growth groups, people, you know, I know people who pray for their enemies. The one thing that showing up does is it transforms you. I love you more because I pray for you. I do. I'm not going to lie. I didn't love you as much until I started praying for you every day. Now, because escapes point. One of my daughters, I'm not going to say which one, right? I share this at home group, right? We were talking on the phone. We're sharing. She was, you know, driving from somewhere going and she was in the car. And then, you know, I started sharing deeply. I started sharing actually about prayer. And we're just like, and she got in, you know, I said, like, you know what? I really got to go to sleep. In the middle of my sharing from the depth of my soul. And it's like, hey dad, you know what? I got to go. I got to go to sleep. Right? I got an early day. Got a lot to do. And just hung up. I was like, and that evening, right? Falling to my knees before the Lord and just what? Getting after it. Because I got to take all of that before the Lord and it's got to be real and he's got to be real. You know, because I got to leave that place loving my daughter. wiping any debt clean. And that goes for the lot of you too. But it's an honest place, you know? Now, it's where you get after those things, those heart issues. Now, you think this is the show up part. This is the show up part. And it doesn't matter. You got to just show up. You just got to do it. And God, but if you do, what does it say? And your Father who sees in secret will what? Reward you. The promise is don't let your feelings before you get on your knees be the guide to be why which you make a determination on why you pray. You'll never feel like praying. I promise you. So you know what? I feel like praying. Now, okay. If you're going through a lot of stuff, maybe you'll cry out to the Lord. Right? But on a daily basis, right? Getting after your heart. What is God saying? He says, oh, you'll be rewarded. You'll be rewarded. Because think about, you know, because, you know, then he goes on to teach people what to pray. We're going to look at that. Because there is in the showing up, right? God already knows what you're going to pray about. It's not like we're informing God. It's just that God wants to make our hearts clean. He wants to get after the things that are in our hearts. Right? It's really my time with Him. Acts 2:42. And they devoted themselves to the apostle teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Now, that's a lot right there, by the way. They devoted themselves. You know what that means? You know why you have to devote to something? Because naturally, you wouldn't do it. Now, sometimes we call that duty, right? It's your duty. You have to be devoted. Because it's not natural. Fellowship is not natural. All right? Your growth groups, you all want to go virtual. I promise you. Because making time for people is hard. And then on top of that, eating with people. You know, when our church began to grow and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, there's like, you know, it's like making food is harder. Even buying food is hard. So, you know, and you almost want to go, well, you know, maybe we don't, like, you know, maybe we can like do without that. Prayer, like all of those things that require devotion is hard. It's hard. And you're going to want to skip it. You're going to want to skip it. You're going to feel like you don't need it. Because you know why? We want to get right to the work. We want to get right to the job, right? Well, I do my this and I do that. And we give people out of the flesh. You know what I'm saying? You're giving people from yourself, even your own children. He doesn't get the glory. And neither are they getting the glory that comes through you, okay, this way to them. I learned the hard way. I did, even with my own children. Oh, it doesn't take a lot, right, even for pastors to serve in the flesh. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. When people come together to pray, to get after the glory of God in the name of God, God's present. You know, I was meeting with Junko. There I was meeting with Pastor Inatomi, you know, a couple nights ago. And we're just sharing. You know, we're just talking, just pouring out our hearts, you know. And we just felt the presence of God in our fellowship, you know. I almost wanted to drop to my knees and start praying. You know, what a good time. You know, what a building up time. I just came home and I was telling Ellen about that, you know. It's like, you know, just his heart for the planning of the Japanese church here. You know, we're just sharing our hearts, you know. And here's what the testimony was. The testimony wasn't, this is what we're doing for God. The testimony always is, this is what God is doing for me. I love to hear testimonies. You know why? Because true testimony isn't not about what you're doing. It's about what God is doing. Submission. It says in James 4:6, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God and draw near. It's like drawing near to God presupposes a submission. Now, how often do you need to submit yourself to God? I have to submit myself to God every single day, twice a day. Actually, and that's, it isn't like, okay, when I say twice a day, I'm just in prayer, just dropping. Here's the presupposition to this, and why it's so important, is because God gives grace to the humble. Because there's something inside of us that is willful, willful. I mean willful. If you're finding that that beast, if you're not praying, you don't notice it. You're not praying because you're willful. Give you a case in point. My dog Penny. Now some of you heard this story. I'm going to tell it again. All right? We got Penny, my dog, all right? We got her from the pound, and somebody abandoned her. And we were told that somebody had adopted her like the weekend prior to us coming, and they had to abandon her again. But they gave some lame reason. We actually believed it, but we thought, oh, she's such a cute dog, you know? We'll take her. Well, there's a reason where she got abandoned. She was an impossible dog. Barking all the time, lunging at everything, lunging at people. It was just like a really, just like, oh my gosh. And then I was like, I was reading everything, watching videos, and then I came upon Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer, right? And he was like, well, you got to get the dog to submit. I was like, and he was like, and then he was talking about submission holds and things like that. I was like, what the heck, you know? I thought, because, you know, you go to the dog training. I went to dog training, you know? At like this pet store, and it was like, you gotta, you know, do the treats and stuff like that. That might work for big dogs, but scared little dogs, mm-mm, it's not gonna work. You know? You do not, okay, entice or treat little dogs who has PTSD for, I don't know what injuries might have had, whatever might be the issue, you're not gonna like spoil the dog into submission. So, we were doing these commands, and one of the commands was lay. Lay. Now, with the treat, Penny did it. All the other commands, sit and, you know, even like roll over, Penny was doing them. Without treats too, by the way. The only thing Penny would never do was lay. Lay. She knew what it was. With the treat, she would do it. But Penny would not lay. Because it was the command of submission. So, when I had that epiphany, I went out, and I took Penny in the car, because, you know, my children thought I was, you know, because Penny will yelp and scream, right? Trying to get it to submit like I was abusing it. Okay? Would not lay for 4 hours, going from parking lot to parking lot. I thought I was going to get arrested, okay? The dog was screaming so much. And finally, past midnight, my dog submitted and laid. And after that, became a different dog. A different dog. There is something willful in us that's even worse than our dog. Here's what God is saying. You can't be a happy person if you're a willful person. That's the truth. I mean, you can go try to chase after the wind in all of this, okay? I learned the hard way when I was in the military, right? It took me over 10 years to really get submission. And I was in the military. It took a long time. It took me, for the words to come out, I serve at your pleasure. It took me probably 18 years for me to say that to somebody else. It happened to be a female officer who was getting in my face, by the way. And we had a wonderful relationship afterwards. Romans 7:21. So I found it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death, thanks to be God, through Jesus Christ our Lord then. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. The reality, the truth of why it's so difficult to pray is because we have a willful rod that is inside of us. It's almost kind of like, you ever have like, sometimes I'm like, I'll drink like a whole pot of coffee, right? And I'm just like, you know? And I'm just wondering, what is wrong with me? You know? It's like, it's not the coffee because I can't get to admit that it's the coffee. What is wrong with me? My goodness. I'm just like on the edge and it's the coffee. It's the coffee, right? Drink it, you know? And it's like, why can't I pray? Well, I'm just going to read a series of these verses, okay? Starting with Mark, 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the game exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Paul is deadly serious about his body's unwillingness, what? To submit itself. Paul, another says, buffet his body. It makes it his slave. It's deadly serious. It's not, I just don't have enough discipline. It's such a mystery. It's not a mystery. You're willful. This thing inside of you is willful. We have three pictures of Jesus, okay, of him praying to God to have the cup of the wrath of God be passed from him. And here's three different postures from three different books of the gospel displaying. Now, this is Jesus depicting the physical posture of Jesus submitting to the Father. Mark 14:34. And he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch. And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed. So he fell on the ground. That's the depiction. That if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. Here's not just the words of submission, but the physical posture of submission. The physical posture preceded his verbal submission. Matthew 26:39, and going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed. So he was on the ground, he fell down, but he was on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Luke 22:20, when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. So here's the posture problem. Fell on his knees and then got onto his face like that. Now, this is Jesus. Jesus Christ, part of the Trinity, does not need to fall down, kneel. And Jesus did not have, by the way, a fallen nature. Yet, he falls down. He gets on his knees. You think it's important? If Jesus does this, if Jesus feels in his incarnate body the need to physically submit himself to God, and then say, if you are willing, not as I will, but thy will be done. We are willful beings, just willful. We will do it our way. We will love in our way. And we're so frustrated. We overestimate our own capacity to even love our own children. Love our own wives, love our own husbands, love our parents. We overestimate. Part of showing up, it's like sleeping. Why did God create? Like, I was like, if I was God, you know, I wouldn't have created sleep. It would be 24 hours of sunlight, right? Let's get after this. It's just humbling to have to sleep. It's like, how many times do you need to come together, break bread, receive, renew? I don't have time to really work. Here's really what God's saying. He doesn't need you to work. He doesn't need you to do it in the flesh. Stop getting... What did God say to Martha? Mary chose the better portion, right? Mary. Because sometimes we're all Marthas, aren't we? We're just trying to love the best we can, right? But God is saying, look, I know. But it's just so humbling to realize how often, actually, I need to submit to God. How often I have to remind myself to be devoted to the gathering, to the breaking of bread, to the fellowship. We almost feel like we don't need it, right? It's like, oh, it's just like, it's a waste of my time because I got better things to do. But we don't, actually. You know, we don't have better things to do than sleep. We don't have better things than to have fellowship. We don't have better things to do than get together and pray. Break bread. We don't have better things to do than close that door and fall to the ground and get after receiving from the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look to you, God. We look to you. We humble ourselves. God, would you just come, Lord, and renew our devotion, God, our devotion in seeking you with all our hearts. God, our devotion in humbling ourselves. Lord, help us. Help us to be humble. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.